The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. It's a Falls Count Anywhere Friday, and we have the innovator of violence, the landlord of the House of Hardcore, and the heart and soul of professional wrestling, Tommy Dreamer. And we have our good friend, Spar with Justin LaBar, on today's show. We go over all the hot topics of the week that was in pro wrestling. We also talk about Goldberg's possible return. And how about this? Our very own diva, Gabby, does her segment, Diva on Divas, right now on the Busted Open Podcast. You know, Tommy and I had this conversation yesterday, Tommy, to piggyback something that we talked about, and that is about the lack of stars on NXT, Tommy. I know that you mentioned that yesterday, where, and Justin, I want to get your take on what Tommy said, and I agree with what Tommy said. NXT is kind of like college football. You know, it's hey, you know, you get your 4 years, and then you're moving on up to the NFL. And I kind of feel that cloud over NXT is definitely hurting that show. True or false?
I would say it's true. I have no argument against that, because you're right. Everybody, you know, even Cross, you know, Karrion Kross, I think, is one of the most interesting people that's come along in a lot of years. And the way he was just presented in NXT, the build up, the debut, how just the quick booking before he got harmed. And I know that just with him being injured and out these last few months, I could sell a lot of people in the wrestling world, a lot of fans had serious concern of will we see him again in NXT, or is when he reappears, is it going to be at the Rumble? Is it going to be, you know, on Raw or SmackDown? And the fact that you now have to live in this situation of getting behind a guy or girl in NXT, but then wondering when is it going to be snatched away? And unfortunately, track record show, when they go to Raw or SmackDown, not too often does it live up to the same, you know, not too often do they get booked in the same high regard. So, in that way, with the window, it is like college football. It's also like college football in the sense of, I don't know a whole lot. Like, I know people that'll sit down and watch the NFL and just watch whatever game's on, right? Most people, I feel like, who watch college football, you know, it's because they're invested in the particular conference or that school. So then it's the same thing with NXT. You know, if you're watching NXT, it's because you've been following Adam Cole's career since Ring of Honor, or you've been following, you know, whomever, you know, Karrion Kross since, you know, where, you know, things he did prior. You know, I don't feel like there's that generic blanket of a viewer in NXT. It's like they have to be very much into particular performers to care, especially now when you have an alternative simultaneously that's doing a lot of the quick, I don't want to say shotgun, but it's just a lot of quick, you know, big hits that they're doing each week with their stories in AEW.
So do you see, is this going to be the norm? Like, where AEW now with all this star power is going to be around that number, and NXT is what it is. Like, it's going to be probably around that because it's going to be very, very difficult to build on it. I mean, they got the show coming up on the 6th, but already kind of AEW is throwing a jab back at NXT because you have Snoop Dogg that's going to appear on AEW Dynamite on Wednesday, January 6th. So that's very interesting as well, because I'm sure the WWE can't be happy that a WWE Hall of Famer is going to appear on AEW Dynamite up against NXT programming.
And interestingly enough, Snoop also doing that business venture right now in merchandise with The Undertaker. So interesting timing there. You know, I mean, we've seen WWE, I mean, look, they got pissed at Jay and Silent Bob and pulled them from the SmackDown red carpet because they showed up at the first Dynamite in the crowd. So, I mean, obviously Snoop Dogg's got more tenure with WWE and higher up in the entertainment food chain, but you never know these days. You know, I don't think Dynamite's going to get a million every single week. I think they still will, you know, I think most weeks they still are going to average in the 700,000 or 800,000. But yeah, I don't see right now, I don't see any change to more weeks than not. They're beating NXT. And NXT is not a bad program. I just think NXT is a lot better if you want to look at things from a long-term storyline standpoint, you know, barring injury, or, you know, if you want more of a traditional heel versus face pro wrestling match and program, NXT is for your palate. AEW is a lot more, again, quick hits, a lot of, you know, the analogy I use, they swing for the fences every time. It's either a home run or it's a big whiff. That's how I take AEW. And I think more times than not, they're hitting the ball deep, which good for them. So I think this is what it's going to be like. And I think it's not going to change. I think the only out at this point is for NXT to move off of Wednesday and go to a night where they're unopposed. While that might make certain sense, I just wonder, I don't know if I could see Vince and WWE conceding to do that. I think that's a pride thing. I think that's an admission of, oh, we've lost this quote unquote war. But I think long term that would be the best for them. We've seen when NXT's been unopposed, you know, the few times that AEW's had a move off of Wednesday, and NXT's done really good numbers and all yep. attention's on them. But I just don't know if we would see the conceding. The other thing that sucks about this for NXT is that prior to AEW going up against them, NXT, it almost felt like anything was possible. You know, I always felt that before AEW started, I felt with NXT, one time they could pull out the right story with the right heel who's anti-establishment, and that'll get you a Triple H match at a takeover. Or, hey, what if John Cena showed up and said, I'm going to come to takeover. I'm going to do one of my open invitational challenges that we've seen him do before. I always thought something like that was possible that could put NXT into new viewership and new credibility to an audience that's not otherwise watching them. Now that NXT is the direct competitor against AEW and they're losing, I feel like WWE is, I feel like Vince, at least with Raw and SmackDown, is stepping back a little bit. It's like, all right, that is our third product. That's, oh, you're only beating our third product. You're not beating our product that has Roman yes. Reigns on it. So, like, I feel like that anything is possible kind of thing has been taken away, and NXT is in its own little world that we won't dare put our most special gems there.
Tommy, do you think that that's true? Because, like, if you look back at a year ago, coming off of the heels of Survivor Series, like, NXT was all over Survivor. NXT dominated at last year's Survivor Series. You know, the WWE made it clear that it was a third brand. And I think Justin's right. They've completely backed off of that. So is that a way of the WWE saying, all right, this isn't doing very well, so we're going to make it clear it's a developmental brand? Or do you think there's something else behind that?
I have no clue. You and I had discussed, and Justin on the show yesterday, Dave read the takeover from just 3 years ago. And there was one person who found success, and that was Drew McIntyre on the main roster. And he's really the only big WWE superstar from that one show. And there's been a bunch of people that have been let go from the company mm-hmm. that were in the main event and in just 3 years. And yes, I agree. And I said it, NXT lacks superstars, and it lacks, like what you just said, this unknown. I had pitched the idea of Adam Cole's group, if they went out there, they survive War Games and stuff, and they just, you know, we're the greatest faction of all time. And then if you hit DX's music, and here came, you know, three of those guys all work for the WWE in the developmental stuff. They just walked out, looked around, and just stood up on that apron. I mean, on that entranceway, just looked at each other and be like, really? Even if they gave the proverbial golf clap, it would have people buzzing. Have people buzzing like, oh, my God. Even if you had, oh, please don't have Triple H and Shawn Michaels bury this group, it would just have people talking. If they did stuff like that, they did it with Sting the week before. What did Sting do in his appearance? Absolutely nothing. He looked at this guy, looked at this guy, looked at this guy, and it created buzz. And then what they do the next week? Hey, Sting's going to talk. What did Sting talk about? Not a whole lot, but it opened the door of, are we going to see Sting versus Darby Allin? Are we going to see Sting, Cody Rhodes? Seeing Sting and Arn Anderson made me super duper happy. Sting and Tony Schiavone, things like that. And really, what was it? It was nothing. It really was nothing. But it spoke volumes because you could see the numbers that it did.
No, and right. I think, I mean, Justin, it goes back to what you said, where, you know, a year ago, it'd be like, all right, what could happen here? And now it's like, you work with what you got. I don't think you're going to see those big surprises anymore.
Yeah, for now, that's what it seems. And yeah, I mean, right now, the track record with NXT, like Tommy just said, you know, Drew, obviously an exception. You know, maybe after Drew, you're looking at a guy like an Elias, who Elias was never the main eventer in NXT. He was mid card in his time in NXT, but you know, he's a guy that's gotten to have, you know, multiple segments and matches with John Cena's and Undertaker's and different legends on Raw or SmackDown. I mean, yeah, and that, and what's that say? The guy, a guy who's never held a title on Raw or SmackDown, I don't believe, but you know, has at least gotten those segments, but he's one of the best, the best booked and best delivered guys on Raw or SmackDown that was in NXT for any length of time. And like, it's like, again, what does that say? You know, we'll see what happens with Keith Lee. You know, it's too soon to say, but yeah, it's just a completely, you know, and I know that there's guys and girls that don't want to leave NXT, you know, never mind the money difference or what have you, but there's some that don't want to leave NXT just because they're, at least they feel that they're getting used and getting, you know, getting to have fun, if nothing else, in NXT, rather than going to Raw or SmackDown and dealing with the potential pitfall. So, yeah, I don't know what the end game is. Again, I think NXT has to move to a different night at some point. I think that would just be best for business for them, to use that very outdated and worn out term. But I think that's what would have to happen. The biggest superstar in NXT, quite frankly, is the fact that Triple H and NXT are able to use the WWE warehouse and nostalgia. They're able to use In Your House. They use War Games. They pull out, you know, the Halloween Havoc. They pull out these, you know, wrestling fans love nostalgia. They love to say, oh, what, you know, they love things like Tommy just pitched. Oh, what if DX came out and stood, you know, against this group? I mean, they love nostalgia. So that's really been the biggest superstar at NXT, is being able to pull out all these entities that they own and the licensing to.
And they also did it with, you know, the Halloween Havocs. They were good. And yes, they threw the nostalgia in there, but the shows were quality, and it wasn't like you were going to have Jake the Snake versus Sting. And it's funny, I was just having this conversation with an older wrestler, you know, yesterday. You don't want to see, and it was apparent, you don't want to see older wrestler versus older wrestler, because then it becomes old timers day. You yeah. want to see this guy versus that guy. You know, even with, you know, Impact and AEW, definite bump for Impact. Hey, did then that mean that also translated to a definite bump? Because are you going to see somebody else on AEW? Could be. And then fans put out like all these dream matches of like, what really, like, oh my gosh, I have the potential to see this. And it's just, it laid the foundation for people to be talking. And then because in the business that we're in now with social media, everyone wants to speculate. This show is at, you know, at times we recap and then we talk about what could happen and this show's success of it. When you have people talking and doing things like that, because wrestling, if you think about it, for baseball, for football, for basketball, we have trade deadlines. And that's what people are talking about the most about. And then it's like, all right, well, now that they made these trades, they're going to talk about the playoffs. But if your team isn't doing well, your team's not in the playoffs, what are they talking about? Well, next year, when the season yeah. is still going on, this is so unlike it, because it's professional wrestling. There is no next season. It's always constant. And when you have that constant buzz and when you have people always talking about it, you know, even like this Saturday is, what's the name of the pay-per-view, Dave?
Final Resolution.
Final Resolution. People are like, hey, is there going to be AEW people? You know, I don't know. But what I'm just trying to say, it speculates. And then which means people are going to tune in. So I think that's very much it. Yes. And then, but also what AEW's capturing, that younger demo. And if you have a mixture of the older wrestling fans and the younger wrestling fans, it's going to be successful. I know this because I lived it, because so many people come up to me and tell me, man, I was out of wrestling and then I saw ECW and it was so different. And it made me want to watch wrestling again. And then it was the whole Attitude Era. Oh man, what a great time to be a wrestling fan. And minus this pandemic, it's a effing awesome time to be a wrestling fan, because we have so many options and different things to watch. We could also watch it not from television. We could set our DVRs, but we could watch it on our phones. It's so, so cool, but you have to be able to capture that cool factor. And you also need the, like, I know, and listen, I was in the business. I was helping change the business, but I would watch The Rock. I would watch Steve Austin the moment they came on. I still, whenever I see Chris Jericho, I fast forward a lot of wrestling. I stop when I see Chris Jericho. I stop when I see fans frigging singing his entrance, because that was it's so different. The only last time it's ever been seen is the Sandman. That interaction that had Sting, Cody Rhodes, I always stop and listen to. Guys who could talk. Hey, I stop and listen to Drew McIntyre, what he has to say, or Randy Orton. But those are so far few in between. That's what is missing. And Dave, before you're talking about the Attitude Era, if you want to talk about the Attitude Era, and Justin, I know you'll agree, everybody was a star. There was a six-man tag on NXT. I was fast-forwarding. I had to go back, and I'm like, who are these guys? Yeah. And I watch every week.
Hey, everybody, this is Fran Fraschilla, host of the podcast World of Basketball. The game of basketball has truly become a global game.
Markovic buys it in to Mickey, and somehow it goes in.
Each week, I talk with the players, coaches, and executives who have led the way in growing the game of basketball around the world.
Real Madrid have stolen victory from the jaws of defeat.
Episodes are available every Thursday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts.
You know, 15, 20 years ago, the last 15 minutes of Monday Night Raw was must-see TV. Lately, it's like the highest rating for Raw is usually the first segment of the show, and then it gradually goes down during the course of the show. You have to make must-watch. And I think right now what's going on with Kenny Omega and Don Callis, it's getting people to look forward to and must-watch segments. Justin, look what we saw on Tuesday. The number one trend was Impact Wrestling, and they're going head-to-head with the Dallas Cowboys and the Baltimore Ravens on a special Tuesday night edition of NFL football. I mean, Justin, I never thought we'd be saying Impact Wrestling trending one going up against the NFL.
Well, your Cowboys aren't much to speak of, so let's not hold that up to high regard. But yes, it was a big deal. Yeah, I mean, look, I think Impact's numbers were up like 33% from the week prior, and that's a huge deal. This is a huge rub for Impact to have this going on, because to have this, you know, this crossover, whatever it is, and I think that. The only downfall that I see at the moment is that it is in the era that we're in with social media and everybody has a voice, is I've heard every possible scenario of what could happen about an AEW versus an Impact, or, you know, what if they join together with, you know, other promotions and have like a Wrestle Kingdom here in the States kind of event. I guess the only worry I have, the only downfall, is that the fans can speculate and can map out fantasy book, the greatest thing in their mind. And, you know, maybe the relationship doesn't get to that. You know, we'll have to wait and see what extent this crossover is going to be, what it's going to translate in. So that's the only, I guess, downfall, is that in today's world, you know, you risk you're going to maybe disappoint some fans because you didn't go as far as they wanted. But obviously, it's all about business, and this has to make sense business-wise. But yeah, talking about what's going on right now, this has got a huge bit of buzz. People tune in Tuesday night. You know, I'm always a wait and see. You know, it's storytelling week to week. I want to see how this plays out with Kenny and Don, because, you know, if you watch what they said Tuesday night on the tour bus interview with Josh Matthews, it was pretty much the same as what they then said on Wednesday on Dynamite. And I got the feeling Tuesday they were promising a certain announcement or what have you, and then they didn't give that on Wednesday. So again, I'm going to wait and see. It might make sense 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, whatever. So I want to see how that plays out, but this is huge. This has got people talking, and quite frankly, for Kenny Omega, especially for him, the character, I think much needed, because I think obviously fantastic bell to bell. The guy can go, no doubt about that. But I did feel that prior to these recent weeks in AEW, I did feel that there was just something not connecting with the audience, you know, different audience, different product in Japan potentially. So I felt like there was like a miss. Something wasn't gelling. Now I feel we're moving more in the direction of I'm getting the best of what Kenny Omega has to offer, and having Don Callis on the mic right there next to you, that ain't going to hurt you either. So,
hey, I said it to Don. We had Don on. And though he was more in the macabre for his ego, and all of these ratings and all that stuff is just going to fuel it even more. But I saw more on Impact Wrestling in Kenny Omega than I ever have before. And just like you, we all know Kenny is an amazing wrestler. You know, he main eventing the Tokyo Dome and doing all these things, but he was over because of his in-ring work. Now, Kenny is must-see interview and showing this personality that came out. And that's when you have, different eyeballs helping or different eyeballs telling you, hey, be yourself. And now that he, you know, he has Don, an impact who has all the stroke in the world to do that, that's one thing. And then you have Tony, even with that, you know, the old school paid promotional sponsorship, Tony showing a little pizzazz and adding to this, as well as, you know, the commentary. I loved it right before the beginning of the show, which, you know, if you went the two shows, Metallica opened up the one thing. I'm sorry, Ozzy Osbourne opened up the one show and a recap opens. They, you know, they recap both shows. I loved the Ozzy Osbourne thing, but then I hear Jim Ross go, we got job, 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 jobs. And I was like, wow, literally that one word, because now you're saying they got screwed over. And I want to hear what's happening about this. So it's you're seeing different things. I hope it continues. I don't think it will due to egos, but I hope it continues.
I mean, I guess that's, history shows that that's usually the case, right? Egos usually get in the way.
Yeah. I mean, the besides Paul being in the pocket of WWE, but that all fell apart straight up. I was witness to it. It fell apart because long time ago, they wanted Rob to lose to Rob to beat Road Dogg. And Road Dogg's like, why do I got to lose to him? He don't work here. Well, how does that help me? And then it got switched around. And then Paul was like, you know, telling Rob, hold your ground. And then he was telling Vince, like, I don't know, these guys are crazy. I can't control them. So he kept himself neutral. And that whole little thing spun out of control, just as simple as that. If it really was a separate company, one guy had to say, well, listen, I'm going to leave with you guys, which Paul did say, but he probably told Vince, I'll be right back. but what I'm trying to say is that those egos fall apart just like that. And Road Dogg was right. How does that help Road Dogg's career if he would have lost to Rob Van Dam? This is even before the job squad. And if a guy doesn't work there, that was a different time, a much different time. But as simple as that, it all fell apart. And then there went our SummerSlam match. I didn't need a SummerSlam match. No, I didn't want to do that at the Brendan Byrne Arena. I didn't need that payday. I probably wouldn't have got paid. But stuff like that always falls the wayside because of egos. And we're talking with a gigantic ego that Don Callis has. We're talking about Impact executives. There's so, you know, Tony Khan, then you got networks involved. It's I hope it doesn't, but it usually does.
Justin, you mentioned about NXT, the numbers with NXT, the nostalgia factor with NXT, because they can throw out those old WCW, old school pay-per-views. Obviously, the viewers of NXT, they skew older, over 50, which is crazy when you think about it, because, you know, when NXT first started, you thought that they would be more in tap with a younger audience, but AEW has that younger audience. And we saw Sting on AEW, though it's clear that that is probably due to try to get Darby Allin to another stage in his career. And then as soon as we hear about the return of Sting and the deal that is set in place for Sting with AEW, Goldberg is a guest on The Bump this past Wednesday. And Goldberg starts talking about Roman Reigns, starts talking about that championship title, starts talking about Roman Reigns and the spear and everything else. It's clear, Justin, that they're going, now that we're getting closer and closer to WrestleMania season, it looks like Goldberg is finding his way back on to WWE programming.
Yeah, I mean, it was inevitable. Look, you know, Goldberg and Roman was supposed to be Mania last year. And then obviously right as this pandemic hits this country, you know, Roman steps aside and for you know, personal. So it was inevitable they're going to go back to this well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you try to put it side by side, you know, you have Goldberg who pops up and does, you know, two matches a year for WWE. That doesn't compare in this quick moment to Sting, who, you know, was a headliner for the WWE Hall of Fame and then doing the Legends tour and everything. And then all of a sudden things fall apart and he's back on his home. He's back on TNT after 20 years with Tony Schiavone, you know, doing the commentary. And, you know, so obviously side by side, you know, Sting, you know, that Sting's going to win that weekly battle of the nostalgia. But yeah, Goldberg again is inevitable. You know, I think, what's interesting is this might benefit. This might work right now only because there's not fans. WWE has control to basically manufacture the narrative, because quite frankly, I think your general fan has kind of gotten over the Goldberg comeback. When he first came back, it was great. And then he got the pop, and, you know, especially even working a Brock Lesnar when you have a Paul Heyman who can work up a heel Brock Lesnar. But you know what I think right now, I think with the work that Roman Reigns is doing, the quality of work of his heel performance, I actually think if you had an arena full of fans, Goldberg versus Roman, I think they're going to side more with Roman, which right now Roman's the heel and that's not what they want. So, but I think the fact that they don't have that arena full of fans and they can pipe whatever sounds or whatever chant they want, they can get away with it right now and make it seem like, yeah, we're getting what we wanted to have happen. No disrespect to Goldberg, but I hope that he doesn't take the title from Roman, just because, again, I don't think he needs it, and I don't think it would make much sense. Again, Roman's really clicking, and I love the act that he's doing. I think he's arguably I think him next to Randy Orton and the next to The Fiend is the most intriguing thing that WWE puts out on TV each week. But yeah, we'll see. I'd rather see it for a Rumble. I'd rather see it just be a quick, you know, the title match at Rumble sometimes can be a little bit of a dismissal because maybe the champion at Rumble going in, you know, is the champion that needs to go to Mania. So I kind of would hope it to be just a marquee thing that could put on for Rumble. I would rather something different for Roman and Mania. Everybody waits for The Rock. I don't know if and when that's possible given his Hollywood demand, but yeah, Goldberg, Roman, inevitable, but hopefully they keep it with Roman.
First of all, you said something very, very profound, and then it made me think about it. When we talk about superstars, you said Roman, The Fiend, and Randy Orton,
yeah,
correct?
Yep.
Exactly. You want to know why else? Three generations of growing up in this business and understanding how to get over and getting over. That, there are so, it's different on the indies. And, you know, people will say, and I've heard it, man, like, oh, did you hear that crowd? Yeah, it's a crowd of 100 people because you're on the indies, or 200 people. And then there would be indie darlings. Mike Bennett said it yesterday. I got better because I was in the WWE system. The WWE system does make you better. It really does. I watch Eric Young. Eric Young was phenomenal. He went to WWE and got better. That system helps it as the individual. But then it's, like I said, if we have 3 years of an NXT takeover, and there's only one person to break the echelon, something is wrong there. It really is. I look at, and I love the guy, Timothy Thatcher, this great old school throwback person. If you want to talk about, if I'm going the ultimate extreme with DX, what if he's doing something, blah, 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 and he steps up to William Regal? William Regal, who's not only an authority figure, but also somebody who's known as being an outstanding technical wrestler. And if William Regal, who can deliver any promo from comedy to utter seriousness and look at you like, I'm going to hurt you, if he stepped up and be like, hey, man, don't ever disrespect me ever again. Don't ever make me take off this suit and show you what I can still do. Because I remember the first time ever meeting... Man, what the hell? Jim Ross guy, the old man, friggin' Crush Apples.
Danny Hodge.
Danny Hodge. That man shook my hand, and I thought he was going to break it. That man put his arm around me to take a picture and cinched my ribs, and I'm tough Tommy Dreamer. And I was like, this guy still can go and wants to. If you had that of just a speculation, doesn't, or then if William, oh, you think you're so bad? Well, here's someone I'm personally grooming, and it's this person. They just did it in AEW with Dustin Rhodes and somebody else. Hey, this guy's from the team, the new team Nightmare Dojo. This guy's going to be an interesting prospect. Stuff like that gets people intrigued. Look at, if we go old school, Bruno Sammartino. Bruno Sammartino had Arnold Skolin. Bruno could talk. Arnold Skolin was perhaps one of the worst managers in the history of wrestling. What did Arnold Skolin do? He did nothing for the wrestler because there were baby faces. He was over as can be. He really didn't cut promos. Why was he in Bruno Sammartino's corner? Because they were friends, because he worked for the company. But we all hold Arnold Skolin in such great esteem because he managed. And who then? Who did he pick as his next guy he's going to manage? Bob Backlund.
Backlund, yeah.
Think of that and go back and tell me what Arnold Skolin, when Arnold Skolin, all he's most famous for is throwing in the towel. But he wasn't, because Arnold Skolin was just as over as everybody else. Why? I don't know. He threw, you know, if you think about what the classic manager did, a babyface manager is the hardest position in professional wrestling. And yet Arnold Skolin was the best at it. What did he do? He drove Bruno. He managed his travel. Like, if you really go and break it down, but he was amazing. And I remember him wrestling Captain Lou Albano at the Garden, because I saw it. And I was just like, Arnold Skolin's the best ever, even though he's an old man.
It's
you need
true.
Those
it's
things. True. And you need the, and Arnold Skolin, like, he's helping Bruno. He's helping Bob Backlund. You need the older guys to help the younger guys. And then for the few older guys that can still go, use them. You know, you look at the NFL ratings skew 50 to 60. And before the pandemic, they were having their greatest numbers. Not so much the older, I mean, the younger audience, but hey, there's still a lot of younger people in the crowd. And then you look at, you know, AEW, there, it's so hard to go by ratings, because you also had the, what your company, when your company is over, you know, old school Ricky Morton, when the girls start coming to your show, you know, it's over. The best part about ECW, I could literally look in the audience and you go back and watch it chronologically. You'll watch the company grow at this same place. And then, yes, I remember girls started showing up and I was like, oh, this is it. And it was. And no matter who left, we always like, and I said it on the air with Don, because Don hated a few of the ECW champions. He's like, that's when ECW died. I was like, dude, our business is through the roof. So how do you say that? But that's his opinion over mine. And apparently he knows more than everybody right now. So,
hey, everyone, this is former NFL linebacker and current SiriusXM NFL radio host Kirk Morrison. And I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, Total Coverage. Each week, I'll be joined by some of the greatest minds in the game as we explore the hows and the whys behind the week's biggest results. Whether we're breaking down player techniques, game plans, or coaching philosophies, we'll explain the details that define our favorite performances. New episodes will be available every Tuesday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts.
Dave, you had made a very interesting point yesterday. And
yes, I did. Thank you.
About talking with Goldberg, Roman, that whole scenario, and it's kind of been thrown out there. You want to see it, but you don't want to see it when it involves the world title, because the world title for your company should mean everything. And I couldn't agree more with you on that assessment. And just like I said, like for adding these different superstars or having other superstars endorse other people on camera. Like, I thought, honestly, like Mark Henry, this Hall of Famer, and Keith Lee could have been something. I really did. You look at the resurgence of MVP and what he's done for Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander, the Hurt Business, a very, very cool little faction. You had MVP who could talk, an MVP who can still work. And he was one of those guys who was on the cusp of being next level, gigantic WWE superstar, though. And then what did he do? He left. He went to New Japan. He went to Impact. He came back. Different guy, different situation. You need those things to help progress with the history of the business. And I've gone as far back as Arnold Skolin, who was a wrestler. And then he manages Bruno Sammartino, to current day stuff. You do need those things. You look at the use to the point where it's almost the overuse of the manager in AEW, because you have a lot of talented people that I don't see, the Vicky Guerreros, the Jake the Snakes. But now look at like what happened, and we even asked him, like Don Callis and Kenny Omega, they ignited the business. He used the Bobby Heenan, Nick Bockwinkel reference. Things like that are really, really good. Paul Heyman, Roman Reigns didn't need him. I don't think Roman Reigns needs Paul Heyman, but it adds to the act and it's working. But, you know, Paul doesn't do contemporary manager things. When Roman is in trouble, Paul does not get involved, which that's your meal ticket. And it is Paul Heyman's meal ticket. He would do whatever it takes. But then Paul will talk about he's his advocate, whichever that means. It's just another term for manager. But I mean, Paul latches himself on to top acts and makes them better. So kudos to him. What I'm just trying to say is, yes, you're right. The only other way I could see that, but not so much as for the world title picture, is if, let's say, Goldberg costs Roman Reigns the title, and then you could do the spear versus the spear. And if it's a two-day WrestleMania spectacular, which probably it will be the way the world is moving during this whole pandemic. And I really did like last year's WrestleMania.
I get it. It's not a WrestleMania I would go back and watch just because of the atmosphere of it. I mean, the whole fun of WrestleMania is, you know, the 85,000 people. When you have nobody, it's just too jarring for me to go back and watch. It's a little bit more digestible with the Thunderdome. But I agree with you. Like, I like, you know, a lot of people and a lot of the WWE loyalists is like, Sting, come on, AEW, bring Sting. What could Sting possibly do? Well, Sting can bring Darby Allin and get him. And even though as big as Darby Allin is right now, take him to another level. You know, Goldberg coming back and going after a championship title, what does that do? I mean, what does that do for Roman? Roman's already over as much as you could possibly be. Roman Reigns beating Goldberg does nothing for Goldberg. It does nothing for Roman Reigns. Goldberg can only hurt in this situation because, God forbid, Goldberg beats Roman. That hurts Roman. Does nothing for Goldberg. Goldberg's already Hall of Famer. Like, that's what I have a problem with. Again, you want to bring back... This is the problem I have with the WWE right now, is they don't have faith in their roster. They don't believe anybody's over to put them in a main event match at WrestleMania. So we have to bring the veteran. We always have to bring the veteran in. We always have to bring the returning legend in. I understand it to a point, but not when it comes to main events and championship titles. That should be for the people who have been there the whole year. You have stories for these people the whole year. You call them superstars. Get them over to the point where you have faith enough for them to be in a main event match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. This is Lisa Ann, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, The Lisa Ann Experience. This is my chance to share with you my experiences, past and present, including how I went from living in the fantasy world of adult films to talking fantasy sports on SiriusXM. Each week, I'll introduce you to some of the people I've met on my journey and invite friends on to help me read through the endless ridiculousness that lands in my inbox. New episodes are available every Wednesday on the SiriusXM app and Apple Podcasts.
Oh my gosh. All right, so now we'll talk about Bellas, because I do love the Bellas. And there's a lot of family drama going on with the Bellas. But last night, the episode did have a lot to do with sex, which I thought was kind of relatable for most people, I'm guessing, that are either married or having babies. But Artem has a fear of, he's very uneasy with Nikki's baby bump, like her big belly. So he was like not wanting to engage. So it was making her feel very insecure. And what's funny is it made Nikki just walk around naked all the time, which I thought was kind of ridiculous. That was her needing attention. So Nikki Bella was like in her pool in the backyard, butt naked, just in the middle of the day, and like changing her plants, like butt naked in the middle of the day. And it was making everybody extremely uncomfortable, which obviously I hope you wouldn't feel uncomfortable if your girlfriend or fiance is walking around naked. I mean, you should like that. But so Artem goes to Brie and he's like, I have this big problem. So they pull this prank on her in saying that the neighbors have a video camera and these young boys saw Nikki butt naked swimming around in her backyard. And it's like a big problem for the neighborhood and she needs to stop being naked. I mean, guys, would you really be that mad if Nikki Bella was walking around butt naked in your back? I'm sorry.
No, but is she doing it just around him? Like, there's not like, it's not like they have family over or anything like that.
Right. She's doing it around him. But Brie was saying that Nikki doesn't really know boundaries. Like, she walked, so they're next door neighbors. I don't know if you guys know this. Like, Brie and Nikki live in Phoenix and their houses are next door. So she would just walk into the house and like Brian would be in the kitchen in his boxers and Nikki would be like, oh, hey, like, what's up, Brian? And he'd be like, hi, Nikki, like, what's up? And he's sitting there in like his underwear making breakfast. So she like doesn't know boundaries. Like, do you have anybody in your family like doesn't really know boundaries or like someone who doesn't know when they should cross the line or not because they're so open with themselves? I feel like there's some people like that in the world.
Yeah. Thankfully, I don't have anybody like that in my world. Tommy, you?
I am that person. I get told to stop peeing outside with my dogs every night. We all have to go out and pee. I do it in the day, too. Sometimes I like to pee in the front of my house in case there's cars. It's like danger pee. It makes it even feel more important. Who's going to see it? Who's not?
You got to mark your territory.
Yeah, man. It's my house. I'm doing an outline.
Animal instincts.
And right. Whenever I walk around the house naked, I get told to put on clothes quickly all the time.
I feel like that's in most places when you're naked. They're just like, put on your clothes. Oh, my God.
And why would Daniel Bryan care if he's wearing boxers? Because boxers are actually longer.
I think it was underwear.
Than his trunks that he wrestles in the ring.
Yeah, well, but it doesn't matter, though. It's the point that he's in his kitchen making breakfast, right. And then, like, his sister-in-law walks in, like, doesn't even ring the doorbell or knock, just, like, walks into that. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, that's your own time.
I don't wear underwear or sweats in half these Zoom shows. I'm just sitting here. You just see my upper body. I stick to the plastic. I make fart noises. I'm good.
We know. But then the other thing that Daniel Bryan is the MVP of this show, I will say, speaking of Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
He's awesome. So yes. Brie goes to her husband, Bryan, and is like, you need to talk to Artem because he's uncomfortable doing it with Nikki because of the belly. She makes Bryan have that awkward conversation with Artem, which in the beginning, I'm like, you know, that's not nice to put your husband on the spot like that for your sister because it's his sister-in-law's husband. Like, it's a weird dynamic. But then it's kind of like a nice moment because the guys say, like, men never really talk about their issues with other men. It's almost looked as like a weakness. So I think that guys need to do this a little more. I think you guys should open up about your feelings, things that bother you, and you should have real life conversations with each other because I think it helps. I think, you know, you and Tommy every once a week, how are you doing today, Tommy? Like, what's bothering you? Are you having any issues in the bedroom, in your life?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Besides this segment, no, I'm good. Let me tell you.
Is that you trying to be fun? That's you trying to be funny? Thanks for being a fill-in today. I appreciate it.
Little thing, because every man listening will understand this if they've had a pregnant wife or girlfriend. And I'm going to tell you something, Gabby, that most men, because we have secret meetings about all of you women. So every woman who's now listening to this, just close your ears. When a woman gets pregnant, not only does their belly button fill up, which is quite disturbing for us men to see, and it's sometimes it even pops out. We didn't get into this relationship to date alien. We did not. And then there's other something called the linear line, where your belly button fills in with a darker color from the top of your vajayjay all the way up to your belly button. It's a straight line. It's a bullseye if you're shooting for something to go through when you're doing
those things. Or a treasure trail. I would call it a treasure trail.
And most of us think it's disgusting and gross. We still do it because we're men and we want to have sex. But, however, we all think it's gross.
Also, too, it is scientifically proven that pregnancy does increase the female libido. So take advantage, guys. And it pops out because the turkey's done.
And because after that, most times you're not going to have much sex after that.
Yeah, just
thank
do
you.
It.
And right. This is your public service announcement.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.